So, Elmer, you remember the time it was when I first got to Philly, and you took me to this soul food restaurant called Big George's. Do you remember that?
Absolutely do. I remember Big George. I know him well. He was from Eastern Shore, Virginia. And so his food was very familiar to me because that's the area that my mother was from.
This is my friend and former colleague, Elmer Smith. He's a retired columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News. The thing that I remember most about us going there, it was in the middle of the day, and I think I had some macaroni and cheese and yams and some, and I was just so sleepy. We had to go back to work, but the food was so good.
George's was an end of the day kind of a place. So that's what people did in the middle of the day. I mean, not if you had anything else to do. I remember when Bill Clinton was running for the nomination, I think at that time, Democratic nomination. He was on 52nd Street. And needless to say, a Southerner like him had already heard of Big George's. And he headed over, no stranger to heavy Southern cooking.
Elmer knows 52nd Street well. When he grew up there in the 50s and 60s, it was the black commercial hub. For a while, it was in pretty steep decline, but recently, it seemed like it was gradually on its way back up again. And then came the lockdown order for the pandemic and the unrest following the killing of George Floyd. Some businesses on 52nd Street were looted and vandalized, and that set the corridor back even further. So what's the future of 52nd Street? Can it come back again? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why.
When I was growing up, there were two corners that were open virtually 24 hours a day. There was a Linton's in the 5200 block of Market Street, a place on the opposite corner called the Holiday Store. Caught people coming home from midnight shifts. But the strip itself actually began south of Walnut Street, really, which is where the heavy nightlife started. I mean, I think of the lower end of the strip, Coupe de Ville's, which was at, let's say, 52nd and Walnut, the 4-6 Club on the other side of the street.
What kind of shopping did it have? Like, what was it like during Christmas time?
Well, Christmas was a time when the street was lit up from 52nd and Market all the way to Baltimore Avenue, essentially. It was the kind of festive Christmas that you would expect in almost any neighborhood, except that because it was a commercial corridor, there was sort of like a critical mass. It was Little Broadway.
Wow. I'm wondering, when do you remember 52nd Street starting to struggle?
Like much of the city, some decline had begun as business downturns always affect marginal neighborhoods more quickly and more profoundly. You know, Horn and Hardart's was a huge restaurant chain in Philadelphia, also in New York. When Horn and Hardart's starts to shut down, that's a clear sign of decline. The Holiday Store closed one by one. These places were replaced by the kind of businesses that you see in declining neighborhoods. A lot of cell phone stores, you know the picture. The supermarket, which was called the Penn Fruit failed. And for years after that, there was no supermarket on 52nd Street. In fact, there was hardly a supermarket in West Philly.
As a native, you know, West Philadelphian who grew up and came of age in that area, how did that make you feel to see the district just deteriorate like that?
I remember taking my oldest granddaughter on a ride through the neighborhood. We came up Walnut Street, past West Philadelphia High School, where my wife and I had gone to school, and she looked at it, she said, "It looks like a prison." And then we got to 52nd and Walnut, and I pointed out a store where I bought my first suit of clothes that I paid for, and it was boarded. When we got to my mother's house, she said, "Papa, this seems like a terrible place to grow up." And I was stunned. I saw the blight, but it just retained its magic for me for some reason. As prone as I can be to self-delusion, I can't fool myself about what's there now. I see them struggling. I'm hopeful that it can come back because the community that it served is still there. People still live there. There was a need for those businesses when I was growing up. It's still a need.
So I live in West Philly, a few blocks away from 52nd Street, and I heard helicopters and some sirens and stuff, and I was like, I should probably go check this out.
This is Plan Philly reporter Daryl C. Murphy. His instincts kicked in when he heard the unrest at 52nd Street. He grabbed his gear and headed over.
From what I understand, things did start out peacefully and then just kind of devolved into just like a chaotic mess that I walked into, you know, after the police had fired some tear gas or something. They started like push people back and stuff. There was a lot of young people. I saw a group of them just like push over one of the kiosks for the street vendors, rip it open and just start throwing some of the merchandise around. Apparently they damaged the McDonald's. You know, I was making my way up to Market, and I got about halfway through, and an officer came and stopped me and was like, hey, man, you know, you should turn around. Like, he was like, you know, you guys can't go. You can't be on this block. You know, you're going to have to turn around because pretty soon we're going to start arresting people, you know. So I got out of there, and I went back below Chestnut, and that's where things just, like, continued to escalate. You know, they had lifted some of the gates. They ran in some of the stores, took some of the stuff, you know, beauty supplies, you know, clothes, sneakers, like all kinds of stuff was getting taken. And so, yeah, it was just kind of chaotic. You know, I will say, like, everybody who was out there was not looting. There was a group of residents who appeared to be standing at the end of their street, and they kind of formed a barrier. You know, I'd like turned down the block and they were like, hey, what are you doing? You know, and I told them, I was like, look, I'm just out here working. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just here trying to like get out of the way, you know. I remember walking home and smelling this like funky smell in the air. You know, and my eyes started burning a little bit, you know, and there were two people who were walking behind me who came from. And I'm like, are your eyes burning? You know, and they're like, yeah, that's tear gas, man. I'm like, oh, boy.
Did you talk to anybody, any business owners whose stores suffered damage?
Yeah, I talked to, his name was Muhammad Udin, and I also spoke to his son, Saqif Alam. They run a store called RC Bargains. There's two locations. His store suffered, estimates are about $200,000 loss in inventory.
Like some of the stuff doesn't even have like the parts to it. Like we still have broken tables and everything. Like our shelves are still empty, you could see.
What's especially unfortunate about it is that he was getting prepared to reopen as the city was moving into a phase yellow from the pandemic. So he was getting prepared to open. He was stocking up and getting ready. And then this happens. They're small businesses and, you know, a lot of them already operate with small margins. And, you know, a lot of them don't have big savings. A lot of them don't have, you know, a lot of support that allows them to kind of withstand so much of this. You know, so there's that. But plus, like, the corridor itself has had a very long decline over the last few decades. Around that time, you know, you had a lot of white flight, a lot of disinvestment. You know, of course, you have the impacts of redlining and systemic racism and those things just kind of like deteriorating the neighborhood. So, like, by the time we get to the 2000s, it's just a dangerous place. It gained the reputation, you know, of being like one of the most deadliest corners in the city. You know, we're talking about 52nd and Market. And then to further complicate that, you had this SEPTA project, you know, where they wanted to revamp the L. And so they revamped the 52nd and Market stop. And that lasted a decade. And that just kind of like turned a lot of traffic away. Businesses were shut down, et cetera. And that project wasn't done until like 2009. So, you know, you had really like struggle after struggle.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to WHYY Plan Philly reporter Daryl C. Murphy about 52nd Street's long and rocky history. So 52nd Street was on its way back after all that decline, and then COVID happens. Have the small businesses there been able to withstand the shutdown?
Well, I mean, just like anything else. You know, if your business is shut down, you know, your doors are closed for like 2-3 months, that's a loss of income. For example, you know, one thing that Mr. Udin had shared was they pay $5,000 rent for both of their locations.
$5,000 each store.
So that's 10 grand a month. And he's like, yeah, the landlord said we don't have to pay it. We don't have to pay it now, but he's going to want that money back.
So we probably didn't pay April, May, probably coming up to June. So that's at least 10,000 each month. So add that up. That's what we're dealing with.
About 90% of the store owners are either immigrants, people of color. And that doesn't really help because, you know, a lot of these federal programs that were supposed to help with the financial stresses of COVID, they rely on pre-existing relationships with banks. That's not always the case if you're a person of color. There was a study done by a Small Business for America's Future where they surveyed more than 1,000 small business owners, and they asked them how they were surviving the pandemic. You know, and they found that 1 out of 5 had taken on new debt, $100,000 in new debt. So if we're talking about how did they survive, that still has yet to be seen. But, you know, the numbers and the predictions don't offer much hope.
So, Daryl, it sounds like these businesses suffered exactly from what people were there protesting about, which was structural racism.
Right. Yes. So we spoke with Della Clark. She's the CEO and president of the Enterprise Center, and it's a nonprofit that helps small businesses and minority businesses. You know, they've been doing a lot of things to help the corridor, to help them recover. You know, she says that, you know, these protests over inequality have forced conversations about structural racism.
That was one of the challenges in the looting, is that minorities typically don't own anything. And so when people are saying, well, isn't it terrible that they destroyed the buildings and the store? They don't own them. You don't destroy things that you know that something you own. And so we have to look at how do we create intentional wealth with revitalization in our urban communities? Because that moves us away from social program to investment capital.
And so her big thing is coming up with a strategy where at the center of that strategy is ownership.
And if we can do that in such a way that we can connect to people who reside and care deeply about this community rather than retailers who come in and make money off of them and depart at night, that's the difference.
So, Daryl, there's this desire for business owners to actually own their buildings, which would give them a stake in the community. But at the same time, we had the pandemic, which hurt businesses, and then people started looting, which hurt them even more. Why do you think the looting happened here in this corridor?
I mean, that's a good question. You know, when I went out there, I saw a lot of young people. You know, you got to remember, we're in the middle of a pandemic that shut down schools, a pandemic that left a lot of people unemployed. And, you know, even if you have a side hustle, chances are that requires you to go outside and socialize. So, like, you can't do that. Like, it just kind of threw a wrench in the normal routine for people. And then you have this incident in Minnesota where a police officer killed a black man for no reason. That's going to be a match to a fuse. Why loot there? You know, it's a commercial corridor. It's a strip. That's the place where you go to shop. There's a bunch of sneaker stores there. The pharmacy was there.
Well, what about the business owners, Daryl? I'm thinking about the newer business owners that may feel like they can't stay there on 52nd Street anymore because of everything that's happened.
I did happen to speak with Fode Katemba. He and his sister own Fatty Fabric Store, and they recently moved from King Sessing to 52nd Street.
I think this is the ideal location.
Because they wanted to expand their customer base, you know, and they saw that 52nd Street got a lot of foot traffic.
This street is real busy. Like people up and down all the time.
His thing is just, hey, if business is going well, then we're going to stay. And that's basically what it comes down to.
So what do you think can happen from here? Can 52nd Street come back from all this, you think?
So 52nd Street is still a point of interest for people. There's a youth organization. It's called YEAH. It stands for Youth Empowerment for Advancement Hangout. They want to open a brick and mortar storefront so that they can have a place to, you know, continue to do their work for youth empowerment with young people in the area. And also Smith & Roller, which is a development company co-founded by Tayeb Smith. He wants to put an entrepreneurship hub near 52nd and Arch. And, you know, that's another place where he wants to support young people and give them real skills to help, you know, that'll help them thrive in his 21st century economy. And so, you know, there's hope that businesses can continue to drive a renaissance for 52nd Street. You know, that's just not talked about a lot. The focus right now is just helping businesses along the corridor get through this rough time and just try to maintain as much of the identity as much as they can, you know?
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for talking to us about 52nd Street.
Thank you.
That was WHYY Plan Philly reporter Daryl C. Murphy. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son and Sabrina Boyd Circa. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Be safe and well. We'll talk to you on Monday.